Krishna Nika Comedy, Sunset Pastimes, Sayan Leela, 6 o'clock to 8:36 p.m. Yashoda stays a while in the palace courtyard, carefully instructing the young house servants dedicated to Krishna's pleasure. Feeling extremely exhilarated, one servant takes Krishna's horn, flute, and stick. A second servant removes Krishna's garland, and another fortunate servant removes Krishna's ornaments. After taking off Krishna's turban and belt, one servant brushes the dust from his limbs. Another servant blissfully cleans Shyam's face and feet with a piece of cloth and then combs his hair. Other skillful and devoted servants smile slightly as they gently massage Krishna's body from head to toe with special oils that are fragrant and colorful. One servant, learned in the ways of love, anoints Krishna's beautiful body with a mixture of sandalwood, kumkum, and concentrated camphor. One servant rinses Krishna's hair with aromatic amalaki juice and bathes him in sandal-scented water. One affectionate servant dries Krishna's body with soft, white towels. Then he uses a damp cloth to wring out the water from Krishna's hair. After removing Krishna's wet bathing garment, one servant dresses the Lord in a comfortable yellow dhoti and offers an attractive diaphanous yellow chador to cover Shyam's broad chest. Another servant adorns Krishna's head with an elegant white turban. One servant draws the finest tilak of scented sandalwood on Krishna's forehead. Then he smears Krishna's body with a fine ointment of hari chandana mixed with camphor. Some fortunate boy decorates Krishna's graceful limbs with the appropriate jewel-inlaid ornaments, and then ties gem-studded gold bangles on his lotus feet. Clutching the right hand of a dear friend in his left, Krishna slowly enters the house. After removing his jeweled slippers, Krishna humbly bows down before Nanda Maharaj with pure affection. Nanda reciprocates by lovingly embracing Krishna and smelling his head before sitting down. Taking his father's permission, Krishna sits on a royal seat. Shortly thereafter, Balaram, having been served for a long time by his personal assistants, appears and offers respects to Nanda Maharaj. The king of Braj enters a boundless ocean of joy by affectionately embracing his beloved Balaram. The second meal. The expert cook named Rohini steps forward after preparing a second meal for Krishna and Balaram and says, "Mother Yashoda, the cooking is ready." Taking a cue from Yashoda, the excited young servant girls happily place the plates, water jugs, and jeweled seats in their proper places. Nanda Babu washes his feet and sits on a high seat flanked on either side by Krishna and Balaram. Rohini serves everyone with intense affection. First, Rohini serves all the pure, sweet, and easily digestible dishes to the brahmanas who eat it there daily. Then she serves Nanda Babu, Balaram, Krishna, and his friends. In the presence of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, Balaram, and their friends neither speak loudly nor laugh raucously. Yashoda remarks, "Oh, the boys don't feel comfortable eating in front of their father." In this way, Krishna and Balaram finish eating and completely satisfy their father's heart. The attentive servants bring golden pitchers full of cool, fragrant water so Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, Balaram, and their friends can wash their mouths. Since their clothing ornaments are disarrayed, Krishna and Balaram exchange them for fresh ones. After carefully washing their feet, the divine boys freshen their mouths with spices. Beaming a soft, sweet smile, Krishna offers respects to his father and enters the courtyard. Entering the Goshala. The beauty of Shyam's lovely face pales the radiance of a million full moons. Various assistants sing Krishna's glorious qualities as he puts on his jeweled sandals. Resting his left arm on the shoulder of a friend, Krishna accepts an attractive tambula from another friend with his right hand. Krishna then enters the Goshala while continuously chewing this tasty tambula. Lakshmi, the royal goddess of evening, wearing the ornament of the sun and her eyes like blooming night lotus flowers, quickly approaches Krishna to serve him with the utmost attachment. Birds return from all directions to settle safely in their nests. Ghee lamps light up every house as the directions turn gray in the absence of the rays of sunlight. It is time for the cows' evening milking in the village of Gokula, which resounds with the crying of calves and lies beyond all material illusion. As Krishna nears the Goshala, the lamplights flicker and the cows let loose a chorus of mooing. The combination of flickering lights and the mooing, which sounds like Ulu Dwani, appears like an arti to welcome Krishna. The eastern direction, like a woman anxiously desiring to see Hari, makes the moon rise. The moon, red in color and full of desire, spreads its rays upward. As the moon, which appears like the face of the eastern direction that has been desiring for a long time, arises, it extinguishes the darkness spreading out in all directions like a covering garment. The herd of cows shines like the moon, and the moon glitters like a crystal mountain range. If not for their black hooves and horns, one could mistake the herd of cows for the moonlight, and the moonshine for the herd of cows. The huge bulls that look like sages or boulders from Mount Kailash sleep happily without inconvenience wherever they find themselves at nightfall. Krishna, the ocean of bliss, wears jeweled sandals while standing in the yard before the Goshalas. Seeing the beauty of the cowsheds built with large crystal pillars fills Krishna with satisfaction. At the time of milking, the cows all clamor at once to sound like the groaning of an empty stomach. Krishna smiles at this as he lifts his dhoti and squats down. Holding a golden milk pail between his knees, Krishna milks the cows with his soft hands. The cows freely release their milk immediately upon feeling the delightful touch of Krishna and seeing the beauty of his moon-like face.